The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Tuesday edition, post-Memorial Holiday weekend edition of What's on Your Mind. Hello, friends. I'm Scott Hennen, along with Todd Mitchell. This is the program where we want to find out what's on your mind, which is why we call it just exactly that. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. We're going to track down as much information as we can about a story no doubt on your mind today, and that is North Dakota's first tornado, first reported tornado of the season. What? North Dakota last night. And a ton of photos, videos, and commentary on Facebook last night. I provided rather scary. I saw the Sydney Herald reported mass injury suspected. One trailer with four kids in it reported missing. None of that, fortunately, proved to be accurate. And a good reminder that oftentimes, in the immediate aftermath of any kind of an emergency situation, you know, a good idea to have cooler heads prevail and get the facts on the ground. We have confirmed from McKenzie County emergency officials that, in fact, there were no casualties, that there were nine injuries. Eight of the individuals injured were treated and released, and one air flighted to Minot, a Trinity hospital, in critical condition. So, One individual in critical condition at this hour, the last report we have, certainly to keep in our thoughts and prayers. And throughout the program, we'll try and get you as much information as we can about what happened. National Weather Service reported a tornado at about 7:46, and reports we have from the ground, it actually was touched down about 7:53, so there was very little notice. And all of the physical damage that we're aware of to this point contained to a An RV park, a crew camp of sorts, south of Watford City. To tell us a little bit more about this is the mayor of Watford City, Brent Sanford, who joins us on our newsmaker line to begin the program. Mr. Mayor, nice to have you back.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you.
A scary night last night for folks in Watford City. Tell us a little bit about what you saw and heard.
Yes, it wasn't quite the type of activity we were all expecting coming in at the end of a Memorial Day weekend. We thought we'd be driving home and settling in, going to bed to get ready for work on after the long weekend. But it was quite a night. The clouds were, you could see the clouds from 100 miles south, from 50 miles east. They were so high. It looked like trouble as one was driving into town, but little did we know. As soon as we were 15 miles away east of town, my father-in-law called and said, "Where are you at?" And I told him Johnson's Corners. He said, "Don't head into town. There's tornadoes crossing the highway just south of town." So we rerouted to the north, went through Keene and across the north side of the county, and it was just amazing and surreal to listen to what was happening. Baseball-sized hail in quite a wide swath for a long stretch of the area south of Watford City. Started over by Arnigard, so eight miles from Watford City, and continued all the way south. And then somewhere, nobody can quite figure out how many funnel clouds there were, if this was all one tornado cell, what it was, but there were different photos of this monster tornado. I mean, it was a large tornado. It's something that we don't see around here. We get tornado warnings a few times during the summer, but just not something you see in this part of the country. And when the word came out that it hit an RV camp south of town, it just struck fear in everyone's hearts. We all know what we're looking at south of Watford City at this point. Literally hundreds of RVs and campers in all shapes and sizes, and the person just wondered where and how many people are hurt. And our prayers are with the 15-year-old that was critically injured that's in the Minot Hospital today. With I just had an outpouring of of um, of care and support from the entire town. The volunteers were in full support last night at the Civic Center. At the hotels were offering rooms for displaced people. It turns out, basically what we're seeing on the news is about as much information as I have on the numbers exactly of RVs that were destroyed and such. It was an area where they figured about 15 RVs were parked where the tornado touched down. And in the end, it looks like possibly 8 of them were destroyed. And to end up with 9 injured people and 1 critically injured out of what that scene of wreckage looks like is amazing. Absolutely, Scott, it's absolutely amazing. It's something that it was very shocking. I was able to tour the area around midnight and with the sheriff's department, and it was, you know, absolutely like a bomb scene. It was devastation. And we're, you know, like I say, hopefully we can, the girl in Minot can pull through. I tell you what, it's going to be a miracle to make it through this without loss of life.
We're chatting with Watford City Mayor Brent Sanford today about the tornado that has made news nationally for two reasons. One, it's the first North Dakota rather big tornado, and then, of course, obviously the fact that there's a crew camp involved. You immediately have folks connecting, the oil plant and what's happening there. There's a lot of these crew camps, and so situations like this thankfully are rare. But any rule of thumb that you give residents and folks in that area as far as watching the skies and taking shelter and what are the standard operating procedure for folks that are in a crew camp when bad weather threatens, Mayor?
Scott, that's a good question. This is something where, basically, in the words of the deputies that were out on the scene, they just said, we didn't know this was here. These things pop up overnight. And so to have a coordinated effort like that is very nearly impossible. And to even get out public awareness is going to take some doing, but I think that the emergency management crew from the county is on the task, and there will be I would say it would be safe to assume we'll be using all forms such as Facebook and that can get to people in this day and age. Putting something in the newspaper isn't generally going to get to everyone, especially out in those areas of the county. But there's got to be something done with the sheer volume of RV parks that we have in this county. There's got to be some thought put to this. One of the things I wanted to add, that it's pretty obvious from the fact that the 15-year-old is in critical condition, is the fact that this isn't just a worker crew camp either. This is like 90% of the RV parks in our county. There's families living in these. The first family that I saw when I went to the Civic Center was a very young family with, it looked like a 3-year-old and possibly 5-year-old boy. And the 3-year-old boy and the 5-year-old boy were alone in the Civic Center being taken care of by the Red Cross volunteers that we have in town as their parents were being treated at the hospital. One, it looked like the mother had broken her ankle and the father had sprained his ankle and had numerous injuries from shards of glass as he was shielding his family. And one of the workers said that they'd had to push the little boys into the closet because the storm came on so quickly they couldn't get out of their camper. And so there are families living in these RV parks. It's not crew camps, and it's important to note. And that'll also have to play into the emergency management plan, I would say, going forward.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, this could have been obviously way worse. And as you say, this teenage girl that is in critical condition, at last report in Minot at Trinity Hospital, remains in our thoughts and prayers. The other 8 injuries, those individuals have been treated and released, but a good call. I don't know that I'd wait for anybody to tell me what the standard operating procedure is. I think at this point you just, if you're living in temporary housing of any kind, take a very close, watch the skies, watch the weather warnings, and just take precautions individually. I think very important that folks watch us very, very closely, without question. And uncharacteristically, last night, this is not much warning. I mean, 7:46, the National Weather Service issued the tornado warning, and my understanding is it was on the ground at 7:53. So it was a very short notice last night, but a good wake-up call for all, for sure. Mayor, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Oh, that's about it. It was a long night, and we had fears of hundreds and hundreds of RVs being flattened, and it's terrible to say at this point, but we feel like fortunate, I guess I would say, at this point, with no fatalities out of something like that and the devastation that it did bring to the small RV park that did hit. And thanks for the chance to come online and visit, Scott. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the update. Our thoughts and prayers with everybody there. It's a busy, busy place, a lot going on, and a good reminder to, count your blessings for sure. And Watford City certainly is after last night that could have been much more difficult. Thanks, Mayor. Appreciate it. Probably see you a little later on. I'll be moderating a forum with candidates in Watford City tonight at the High School Media Center between county commission candidates and the sheriff candidates in the upcoming McKenzie County race. We'll be doing our show tomorrow from Watford City. Looking forward to that. More coming up after this. Don't go away.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Look, Billings, Montana, the Metro Park Expo Center, home of the 15th Annual Energy Exposition. Yep, June 25th and 26th. It's the largest oil and gas trade show in the Rockies. You go there, you get exposed. Register your company for a booth now. And hey, don't miss the industry dinner with keynote speaker, the Honorable Dick Cheney. Admission to the expo is free, and the exposure is, priceless. The Energy Exposition, June 25th and 26th. Find out more at energyexposition.com.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
Tioga, North Dakota is home of Nesset Consulting Services in a beautiful new facility. Kathy Nesset talks about the hometown of Nesset Consulting Services.
I'm very proud of this community. This community welcomed me back in 1979 and 1980 when I first came here, and I feel to whom much is given, much is expected. I am very happy to be able to give back.
And talk about what this new facility allows Nesset Consulting to do for the future.
We're very fortunate. Now we have space. We can now, we have more people hired. We are specializing into some very specialized field services, such as we want to do some thin section preparation of drill cuttings for the oil companies. We're able to do a little bit more quality control of the work that we're doing because we have space for the people to be able to do that work. We have a lab in the back in the shop, infrared chromatography and such like that, that we're doing on the well sites for the oil companies.
To find out more, go to NessetConsulting.com or call them 701-664-1492.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, May 21st, 2014, gold opened at $1,288.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,335.40, $667.70 for a half ounce, or $333.85 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,335.40, $667.70, and $333.85.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Phone number is 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Your email is welcome, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. How many different vantage points of this tornado do we have on our social media sites now, Todd? My goodness, there is still photos, there is videos, there is... we had a lot of amateur storm chasers out there, didn't we? Covering this from every possible angle.
You know what's amazing about this? We are living in an era where a tornado can happen in a fairly remote area of North Dakota, and within minutes, the whole world knows and can even see it.
I saw a photo of it coming down, and the timeline was just now. So I happened to be on Facebook literally as somebody had posted that. Another video I saw a little later, with some individuals in the car that were commenting about it, and the debris started to circle, within the general vicinity of them to the point they had to roll up the window. And at that point, I'm thinking, I'm not sure I'd be videotaping,
some people need to be able to get it, but it's the same as most of their storm chasing. Some people can't help the romance of chasing the storm, and at the same time, it's like, don't forget about your own safety too. It does no good to get the footage if you don't live through it.
Exactly right, and to really be thinking that through without question. Here's a call that came in during the break.
Good morning, Scott. Following that tornado up in Watford City, here's what I think we should do. We should have a federal mandate that stipulates all drill rigs, all man camps have an OSHA-inspected storm shelter, fully functional with instructions in both Spanish and English, 6-inch letters at least, placarded on every door so that this will never happen again. Just kidding. But isn't that the knee-jerk reaction we all have? If there's a problem, government will solve it. Bye-bye.
I think this, obviously, if you're in a RV and there is bad weather, I think even to the point where if there was a thunderstorm warning, I'd say, let's head into town. Let's go somewhere. Really, and especially it sounds like obviously a lot of families involved here. So, I think having a conversation about how quick these things can happen, and that's a little easier conversation to have today now that we know tornado warning from the Weather Service at 7:46, tornado on the ground at 7:53, but we all know that, right? But maybe somebody that's new to the area does not, so the conversation's helpful. I'm not going to run around with my hair on fire suggesting that there be all sorts of new mandates or anything else, and obviously the call
on you know, sometimes you can't get that warning soon enough before it happens because it all is just simply that quick.
Yeah, now this one seems unusually quick, and we're efforting an interview with the National Weather Service in Bismarck to talk a little bit about the storm itself. And, normally you have a thunderstorm warning, and then you have, tornado watch, and then, you watch a little closer, but this one happened quick, but it happens. It's just a good reminder that it does. Someone that is in the neighborhood of last night's tornado is Perry Hecker, who joins us on our newsmaker line now. Perry, thanks for chatting here.
Well, thank you for calling and for your interest in the area.
So, Perry, where do you live? How far from the site that was affected by the tornado last night?
Well, there was on a saltwater disposal well about 700 yards from our house. I don't know how many there was, maybe 8 or 10 400-barrel metal tanks were tipped over, and there's debris scattered all over in that area. So the one of the tornadoes, there's talk that there was two or three. One of the tornadoes must have been fairly close to our yard.
So you've heard reports of more than one touching down, huh?
Well, I was helping some friends northwest of town, Brandon. Our ranch is southeast of town. When I came back through town, it was hailing bad and raining hard. And I stopped at our local livestock cooperative. They have a little awning where I could park the pickup while it was hailing. And I waited there about 20 minutes till the hail stopped, and then I proceeded south of town. Our ranch is about 12 miles from town. And I could see I was going to catch up to the storm, and then I could see a triangular cloud to the south, maybe 6 miles south of town. And then that developed into a funnel and touched down on the west side of the highway, and all the traffic that was headed south stopped. and then we watched the tornado for probably 15 or 20 minutes, and it went across the highway to the east side, and then I think it proceeded to the band camp where the damage was. And then after all the time we were waiting, it was kind of raining hard and hailing, and then when that went back up in the sky, I proceeded, and when I turned off the highway, which is about 7 miles south of town, I saw there looked like another tornado ahead of me, and I had to wait about 10, 15 minutes for that. And that one went toward the southwest, where the other tornado went to the northeast. And when I saw that one the first time, it was about 2 miles north of our house. And then it came kind of in a south-southwesterly direction and did the damage at the saltwater disposal well, where the tanks were tipped over.
How the tornado that did the damage, you talked about that crossed the highway, how long would you say you watched it on the ground?
I would say close to 15 minutes, and it maybe wasn't touching down all the time. And part of the time you could see the funnel, and then the dust cloud probably was 300 or 400 yards wide on the ground. And the funnel wasn't near that wide, but then part of the time the funnel completely disappeared, and the rotating mass on the ground that was like 300 yards wide kept going. And then the funnel came back again.
Had you ever seen anything like that before?
No, never in my life. Yeah. This is an unfortunate time and place for people to live in campers, but that happens at times.
Yeah, exactly. And thankfully, mass casualties than there could have been, given the fact that you have a number of people out there, and our reports are 9 injuries total, 8 treated and released, and 1 15-year-old girl in critical condition in Minot right now. That is the lone injury that we're concerned about at this point from the aftermath, and continuing to pray for that young lady.
Absolutely. We were really blessed. It could have been much, much worse, yes.
Exactly right. Anything else, Perry, you want to share about what you saw?
No, it's just a little bit scary for everybody when we're not used to seeing tornadoes on the ground like that. It's kind of an eye-opener in a way. And my wife was at home just a few hundred yards from the one tornado, and a pole barn, a calving barn, was in the way, so she couldn't see it very good. But when she saw the dust, she went to the basement, which I thought was very intelligent.
Exactly right. And hopefully that will be the one positive outcome out of this, that everybody will watch those threatening skies a little more closely. Thank you very much for the first-hand report. Appreciate it very much. Resident nearby from the area joining us on the program. Appreciate that much, Perry Ecker. Thanks.
We want to know what's on your mind, so call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
You there, driving a rig. How goes it? With each passing mile, does it seem like you're leaving something behind? Like your future? If so, there's someone who wants you. Nuvera Environmental Solutions, formerly Power Fuels. We're in North Dakota, in the Bakken oil fields, the part of the country that's been in the news. Nuvera is making our own news. We're a company putting energy into sustainability in the oil fields. What does that mean? That means you can drive for a company that actually cares about the environment while caring just as much about your paycheck. Start with a generous signing bonus that's part of a commission-based salary. So the better you work, the more you make. Get amazing benefits, even for family members living out of state, along with healthy servings of our 401k program, flexible work schedules, and vacations. Drive smarter. Drive for Nuvera. Visit nuvera.com/careers or call 701-842-3618. That's 701-842-3618.
Americans have always been ready to defend, to serve, and to honor those who defended and are defending all of us. So this month, the Freeze-Dry Guy honors and serves Americans with our meat, rice, and potato sale. Our unit includes 4 number 10 cans of quality Mountain House cooked diced beef, brown beef, diced chicken, white rice, and 2 cans of FDG dehydrated diced potatoes. 158 servings per case unit. And during the Freeze-Dry Guy's meat, rice, and potato sale, get 1 case for only $179. 2 cases for only $355.
Or get three cases for only $5.15 and all come with lots of valuable freebies. For details, click freezedryguy.com and hurry. Sale ends soon. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Plus, free shipping to the lower 48 states from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
The hour with Todd Mitchell. I'm Scott Hill. Telephone number is 800-228-0550. We have another guest related to the aftermath of the first tornado of the season in North Dakota. That'll be the National Weather Service coming up just after the top of the hour. So we'll get you some more information on that, specifically about how many tornadoes were there. You heard the last caller suggest that there maybe were more than... I've heard reports of multiple funnel clouds, but just one tornado touching down. National Weather Service, obviously, will have all the facts about that. And then also how this one, if in fact our reports are accurate, came up so quickly to have a National Weather Service tornado warning at 7:46 and actually touching down at 7:53. So we'll get you the latest on that as well. Another story we have not had a chance to visit about yet, but... the aftermath of this horrific latest psychotic episode in California with the youngster going on a killing spree, first with a knife and then with a gun. The father has spoken out, blaming politicians and the NRA specifically for the casualties. And hesitate to be too critical of the father, although I certainly disagree with him. Imagine that kind of pain and what you'd just do. You'd lash out looking for anything. But we're going to touch on that a little bit next hour as well, on where the blame ought to lie in that particular situation after we chat with the National Weather Service as well. Right now we're going to switch gears and talk about a ballot measure that's coming up on the June ballot. Measure number one. There's two measure ones. There's one in November. You're hearing a lot about the Human Life Amendment, an amendment to the Constitution in the United States that there'll be a lot of focus on between now and November. This one is completely different from that, but it's also Measure 1. And we have two individuals that are joining us to talk a little bit about this, debate this from two different perspectives. Nothing worse than getting to the polls, getting to see that ballot and go, okay, what's this? I didn't know what this is. And you obviously... I might know about individuals and particular races, but we wanted you to know about Measure 1 on the June ballot as well. Dustin Governlow of the North Dakota Watchdog Network is joining us in studio to talk about this. Dustin, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Scott.
And Representative Andy Maragos, Republican from Minot, joining us as well by phone today to chat about it. Andy, how are you?
I'm very fine, Scott, and good morning to both you and Dustin.
Thank you very much, and welcome. Any calls, questions, or comments you have on this as well, 800-228-0550. Dustin, start with you. What is Measure 1? Who put it there, and what's your view about it?
Well, Measure 1 is a measure that was placed on the June ballot by the last legislative session, and the gist of it is that it takes the deadline for filing petitions when a group of citizens decides to do an initiated measure. It takes that deadline from 90 days prior to the election to 120 days prior to the election. And that may seem innocuous to a lot of people, but when it comes down to it, what this does is it removes the citizen's ability to use the state fair of an election year to get a measure on the general ballot in November of any year. That, as far as getting that deadline in, if they have not reached their quota for getting signatures in. And, you know, if you look back in history, most of the measures that have been on the general ballot in recent years have basically finished up getting 20 to 35, sometimes even more percent of their signatures at that state fair. And basically what it is it, because we're in North Dakota, there's not that many opportunities to get 100,000 people in one shot. And it's not an easy task, even though the threshold in North Dakota is the lowest in the country to get a measure on the ballot for the citizens. It is just a, in our view, a means of stymieing the initiated measure process in North Dakota.
All right, so two ways to get something before the voters. One, the legislature says, here, citizens, we want to ask you a question. And another is to go out and do it yourself, gather the signatures and put it on there. And the two are intersecting in a way here in the sense that the legislature is saying, let's change the timeline on this. What led to this, Andy, from the legislature's perspective, the debate, bring us back to the discussion and dialogue about this particular measure going on the ballot.
I'll do my best, Scott. I apologize. I had hoped to refresh my memory yesterday, forgetting that it was Memorial Day, and then I didn't have access to all my sources, but I'll try and remember because it has been a year and a half since we visited the issue, and I believe the bill was sponsored by Senator Dave Hoag of Minot, who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, and with his having being the prime sponsor, he came to several of us who sat on the House Judiciary Committee and asked us to sponsor the measure with him. And so that's how we got on it. But it seems to me a little bit of history, and Dustin can correct me if I'm wrong. The original referendum and initiative time frame, as it was, I think, first put in the Constitution, was 120 days. Then I believed it was reduced to 90 days. I wasn't in the legislature. I don't know exactly when that happened, because when I did the lottery effort, I was unaware that there had been a change. It just seems like the 90-day time frame was always there. Then, as happens when you're refining a process with court cases and different things happening, as we've seen with the different problems that have cropped up in recent efforts, the Secretary of State was presented with some challenges. I wish I could remember some of the specifics, but it seems to me if someone wants to take it to court, or if the Secretary of State needs to challenge something in court, he has to do it 75 days before the election. Well, if that's the case, then he only has 15 days from the 90-day time limit in order to check all the names, make sure all of the petitions are correct, and do everything that he is supposed to do legally and according to statute in 15 days. Now, for a constitutional measure, you know, of 27,000 signatures, that's a test. It's probably even a test for the 12,000 signatures just to change statute. And he said that it was literally impossible, the way he's staffed, to get through all those petitions in 15 days in order to meet the timeline to challenge something if it's wrong, or, you know, to have a court challenge. This is my recollection, Scott, and so there might be a couple other things in there, but I believe the Secretary of State made the case that he needed the 120 days in order to have more time to go through the petitions to make sure they're absolutely correct, that no chicanery is afoot or no problems with, illegal signatures or anything like that. And I just want to add one aside about this this state fair venue. When I did the lottery, we probably got 5 to 10% of our signatures at the state fair. The bulk of them came from Bismarck, Grand Forks, Fargo. By far and away, Fargo was the biggest. And of course, there's been kind of a new approach to initiative and referendum. People and groups that can afford it will pay people to get signatures. And I would like to emphasize that, at least, you know, because I'd heard my name was bantered around about my sponsoring this, is that we never spent one penny to get a signature. We spent our money on getting the petitions done. We did not advertise. It was a totally volunteer effort. But now it's changed a little bit with all the money in politics, where they can pay people to go out and get signatures. So a lot of things have changed a little.
When you go to the ballot, when you go to the polls, rather, June 10th, on your ballot, you'll find measure number one. This is the North Dakota Initiative filing deadline amendment. And basically it's adding 30 days before a statewide election to get signatures in. And by the way, I did look up that the House approved this, was the Senate rather approved it, was 64% of the senators voting in favor. In the House, 85% of representatives voted in favor of the amendment. So it wasn't close, at least of our elected representatives putting on the ballot. So the 30-day addition does what, Dustin? What's your biggest beef here?
Well, it removes the state fair venue, and really what it does is it makes responsiveness to issues more difficult. We are in a biennial session system in North Dakota. We already have constant calls for special sessions. At least for the last four interims that I remember, there's been a continuous call for a special session. The initiative measure process system allows for the system to take up an issue that otherwise may be a major issue. Now, not saying that it has been used that way, but it could be used that way. It should be used that way. And by removing that ability to use that major venue before the general election, and also let's keep in mind, this would also affect using the winter show if you wanted to get a measure on the June ballot. Let's say there was a major issue out there, and you've got another 9 months before the election and another year before the next legislative session. You could get a lot of signatures on a very critical issue and be able to vote on it in June. And if the legislature does not want to be forced into having special sessions all the time, it certainly should not be trying to make it harder for the citizens to fix these problems on their own. To fill in the gaps on a few things that Representative Marigo said, it was indeed 120 days until 1978, and that was when the 90-day rule was put in place. And last summer, I emailed Secretary of State Jagger with some questions asking him in what situations is he thinking of? And he cited two major situations. He cited the pharmacy measure in 2010, where, if you recall, the circulators basically forgot that or didn't realize that they had to leave the front page on their petitions. So it was a technical error that was challenged. And the second one that he cited was the medical marijuana petition in 2012, where you had the NDSU college athletes forging signatures. Now, in both of those situations, the law worked. The Secretary of State, the Attorney General, did their jobs. Then the measures didn't make it to the ballot. And that's how it should be. And we need to remember, if a measure should be on the ballot or shouldn't be, it's based on the Secretary of State and Attorney General are doing their jobs in the vetting process.
Hold that thought, if you would. Andy, we'll give you a chance to respond when we come back, talking about a ballot measure on the ballot in June. Stay tuned.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Beetelsbacher.
If frequent rains and cool soils continue into the growing season, be prepared to see some root rot. Damage usually occurs in patches or streaks in a field. In favorable conditions, infected seedlings may die. If they survive, plants with damaged root systems may be less productive later in the season, particularly if the weather becomes hot and dry. There isn't anything you can do to manage root rot once the seed is in the ground, but it is important to pay attention to root rot and record affected fields. Next spring, a fungicide seed treatment or a resistant variety may also be good investments. Crop rotation or lengthening crop rotation may also help reduce root rot pressure. For more information on root rots, visit planthealth.info.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Beautify your North Dakota home with the look of the West. Visit the new Montana Furniture and Mercantile Showroom in Bismarck. Find unique furnishings crafted from reclaimed wood, hickory, juniper, old wagon wheels, and they specialize in Western copper, leather, and hide. It's furniture built to last. Rugged, beautiful furnishings in the new Montana Furniture and Mercantile Showroom. Find them on the Gulch Block, 508 Main Street in Bismarck.
Megan's on the phone from the North Dakota Truck Wash, the best of the best. With that deep cleaning process and that free VIP service, the calendar's flipped to April. What's that mean, Megan?
Starting April 6th, we will be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Feel free to give us a call at 701-628-1550 to check for wait times. Otherwise, the later hours will certainly guarantee you a shorter wait time.
And when you do have a wait, don't forget the free VIP service and that great lounge. Now open 24-7 on the truck bypass south of the Senex Pinnacle, Stanley.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Rolling on with What's on Your Mind. More of our debate over the ballot measure coming up on the June ballot regarding extending the time that it takes for citizens to gather signatures and the deadline to get a question on the ballot. That would go from 90 days to 120 days with an affirmative vote on the June 10 ballot. With our guests debating that. Top of next hour, we're going to chat with the National Weather Service about last night's tornado, or if you believe some of the reports, multiple tornadoes, certainly multiple funnel clouds, at least one tornado touching down, causing some significant damage to a RV park south of Watford City. We'll get to that in a moment as well. Why did farmers do what they do? That's the question you ask us often, and we love getting you answers, courtesy of our friends at the North Dakota Farm Bureau. You can go to ndfb.org, ndfb.org, and submit your questions. Here's one that came in. Love this one. Why do sheep farmers dock the lamb's tails? Why do sheep farmers dock the lamb's tail? We found John, a farmer from Tappan, to give us an answer, courtesy of the Farm Bureau. John?
Well, first off, the lambs are much cuter without their tails. But the main reason we dock tails is a sanitary issue. Out on the pasture, weeds will get caught on their tails, and in wintertime, manure and snowballs freeze on their tails, creating problems. For the lambs, it is a problem in the feedlot. They lay around, and manure sticks to their tails, and that attracts flies and creates diseases and maggots. So the main reason we dock tails is a health issue for the sheep. We like to use rubber rings on the tails when they are born because there is less stress on the little lamb.
See what you learn, folks, right here? I love it. Thanks, by the way, John, for that answer. I love the first answer. They're cuter without the tails, number one, but it is a sanitary thing. Ask your questions of why farmers do what they do. NDFB.org, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, bringing ag home. One of our fine sponsors here on What's on Your Mind. Appreciate them very much. NDFB.org. Okay, back to our guests. Let's see here. We're chatting with Andy Maragos, representative from Minot, Republican, and Dustin Coverlow, North Dakota Watchdog Group, talking about Measure 1 and how you ought to vote to add 90 days to the deadline to gather signatures and get it turned in to get it on the ballot, or keep it at the current 90 days. It would go from 90 to 120 days. Bottom line from Dustin, it sounds like, Andy, is that this, in his view, adding 90 days makes it more difficult for citizens to get questions before fellow voters of North Dakota. What would you say to that main argument here?
Well, I would say that there is a very small amount of truth to that. It does require you to do it 30 days earlier, so one would think if you didn't start soon enough, taking 30 days away from your ability to get a few signatures, but you can't start these initiatives and referendums 30 and 60 days before they have to be in, regardless of that, whether it's 120 or a 90-day time frame. So he is right. The fact that we take 30 days away from people, 30 days out of a year and a half probably from election to election, primary to primary or general to general. So there is a small amount of truth to that. But and I'd like to get back to one other thing. He brought up this idea, you know, of the call of special sessions. And I was trying to recall all the special sessions I've been involved in my two decades in the legislature. Well, two of them were for redistricting. So those special sessions happen regardless. The one that was called because of a time constraint, I believe, was the Pro-Gold sugar refining plant in Wahpeton, somewhere back either the late 90s or the early 2000s. And then, of course, this most recent call for the desperate circumstances out in the Bakken. They were just kind of grabbing at straws. You know, they want something to be done, but they really weren't sure what the legislature could do. We've already allocated, plenty of resources to try to get those roads and that infrastructure, but trying to get those contractors, you know, it's not an easy solution, and it really isn't something that I'm not sure the legislature could really affect, you know, before we get into session. So I understand why the governor, you know, elected not to call one, because he wasn't sure if anything could be accomplished at all. And it's
well, I have a minute left here, but some bottom line, Andy, you're saying this is in deference to the Secretary of State to give the amount of time necessary to make sure all the procedures are followed. And, Dustin, in your view, the motivation is what? Just less questions before the voters from generated by the citizens?
Well, it comes down to this. This is a solution in search of a problem. When I asked the Secretary of State, has it ever been a substantive effect either way? And he said, quote, "We do not know for sure. However, based on many petitions that I have come across my desk in 21 years, the potential certainly exists. The potential. There's never been a problem. Since 1978, when this law was changed, there hasn't been a problem. This is a solution in search of a problem, and the only way that the public should interpret that is that it is a way to make it more difficult for the public to influence legislation.
All right, two different views, and again, majority of your legislators voted in favor of this, both in the House and the Senate. It'll be your issue to settle June 10th on the ballot. Andy Maragos, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Scott, and it's been a pleasure visiting with you and Dustin, as always.
And Dustin Goverlow from the North Dakota Watchdog Network. Thank you, Dustin. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
National Weather Service, when we come back for more on the aftermath of the tornado in Watford City, then get to more of your calls.
We listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
What is it worth to feel good? With a miracle chair, you can feel good. 20 minutes a day and you're a new person. Hi, folks, it's Scott Hannon to tell you about a North Dakota distributor for this relaxed-to-zero, state-of-the-art design, ultimate luxury experience massage chair. Let me talk about zero gravity for a moment. Zero gravity alleviates stress on the heart and supports the heart by reducing the heart rate to stabilize breathing, boost the amount of oxygen in the blood. It refreshes the muscles. It promotes back health. It improves blood circulation. Every single person that I've talked to that's been in this chair confirms what I've found. This chair is amazing. 20 minutes, twice a day, and I feel like a new person. And now, it's distributed right here from North Dakota. Setup, delivery, the works, all included. Find out more at MiracleChair.net, MiracleChair.net, or call for a free test drive in Fargo or Grand Forks, 701-746-9950. 701-746-9950. The Miracle Chair. You'll love it.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.